Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Liverpool in focus. One topic, one guest, every week. Hello, it's John Buskell here from Stockholm in Sweden. And this week's In Focus is all about Anfield Index. Yes, it's the three-year anniversary. And, well, of course, the guest has to be Gags Tandon, the podfather of the Anfield Index Network. Now, Gags shares an insight into the early days of Anfield Index. For those of you that haven't been here since the very beginning, he talks about some of the highs, a few of the lows, and of course, we get to talk about Liverpool Football Club. And so without further ado, let's dive in. So why Liverpool, Gags?
Oh, I've told this story so many times, I think, on AirPods. So I'll try and keep this short and sweet. But born in 79, so the peak years of LFC, obviously that era, they were bloody winning everything. And growing up, all my cousins were Reds. There was around me in Wolverhampton, all Reds. And the only team on TV wore Red, really. The only team really worth watching wore Red. And the team in gold nearby weren't doing so well. And, you know, the players on front of the Match and Shoot magazines, I mean, those listeners from that era will remember, I mean, those magazines are still around, but with the trophies in their hands, they were all Red. They were all Liverpool. And yes, so I glory hunted this team, but I stuck by them, you know, I stuck by them the entire way through thick and thin because it didn't last long, the glory. When you know, you come to your senses in 86, 87, and it didn't last long. You know, 5-6 years, and then we were,
yeah.
And you know, look, here we are, you know. I mean, my dad, the funny story for you, John, my dad even tried in 1990 to try and sway me away from Liverpool, and he thought this 11-year-old kid is going to go for the red shirt of United because it was a semi-final Sunday back then where United played Oldham, Liverpool played Palace, the infamous loss 4-3. And he bought a grey shirt for me for Liverpool, and he bought a red one for United, the sharp. And I chucked the red one in the bin. I got a right seeing to. Yes, I did. But it showed him that it didn't matter what the colour was. It was the badge that meant more than anything in the end. You know, as a little kid, yeah, red was everything. But
your
it was the live
colours. Yeah, your true colours shone through. That's really amazing. I mean, I always ask people why Liverpool, and I know you've told the story before, but I think, you know, for someone that set up a podcast network that's now been going 3 years, the question had to be asked. And of course, the natural follow-up is, Gags, why didn't you just stick being a fan, going to the matches, commiserating with yourself when we lose? What made you decide, I'm going to start a podcast and share my feelings and help everyone else share their feelings publicly?
This really wasn't my vision to start with, John. I didn't mean to come and make a podcast. I was always a numbers type of man. I always wanted, you know, when you're on forums and back in the day, the forums were everything before Twitter, Facebook, Liverpool football. I mean, sorry, football forums were everything, absolutely everything. And sometimes you wouldn't be taken seriously. Your opinion wouldn't be taken seriously. And I wanted a voice. And so I always thought stats were a good way of evidencing your opinion and proving somebody wrong. And back in 2010, I thought I really wanted to create something that people could use to debunk, you know, myths and opinions with facts. So I started EPL Index and Anfield Index, and I started Anfield Index to start with, actually. Mm. And it was a website, and it was a stats site, and it had a stats center subscriber base, people subscribing, and Opta kind of pulled the rug and said it needs to be a Premier League site. So I had to kind of have Anfield Index and then create EPL Index out of not because I wanted to, I had to keep the idea going. I didn't want EPL Index. EPN Index is it wasn't my passion at all. It was something forged out of force. So the stat center moved there. The subscribers moved there. Some of those subscribers are still with us, contributing now. But basically what happened was, John, long story short, 2 years after building that subscriber base, that stat center up with some amazing stats and some amazing things we were doing, people still say they miss it. Now, opt to pull the rug on us, and because, you know, big clubs were signing up with us for £40 a year rather than going to them. And I think that was one of their worries.
Mm.
And they pulled the rug, and I'll be honest with you, I was a mess after that. You know, I was an absolute mess. I dedicated my life to that. I'd sacrificed a lot and spent a lot of money. And, you know, it was weird. And whilst that was all going on, you know, I had to shut down Anfield Index as well in 2002 because of my sister-in-law's suicide. So I couldn't run two sites, and I was just full of pain and regret. And you know, I couldn't give them both justice. So I decided to focus on EPL. And then once I lost that customer base on EPL, I was empty because I had nothing. So basically, Kev DeVries joined EPL Index and started up the EPL Roundtable podcast. So from there, we made some good contacts, many that we still use. So now, you know, once I'd recovered from my shock, losing that custom base, settled into podcasting with EPL Index, you know, I met Dave Hendrick on that Roundtable pod. John Ritchie was in touch to write for the site, and he said, you know, let's get Anfield Index up and running again. And from there, I got a decent bunch on, and, you know, John Ritchie was constantly in my ear about getting the site back together, launching a podcast. He started as a writer. Dave was the editor of the website. Both were on the show. John was the host. Dave, the tactics guy, the ranter, the controversial one. You know, we had stats guys on every week. So what you saw or what you see now is under pressure. You know that, you know, they had those roots were, they were in the beginning. They were with us back then. Dan Kennett, Dan Rhodes. Mm. In fact, they've been with me from like month one or two, because they subscribed, they paid to Anfield Index when it first started up.
Which is amazing. And I think what comes across here, Gags, listening to you talk about it, is, I mean, obviously there were times there where it was, you know, difficult, but there's also an excitement, a passion. You know, just going back and thinking through it, I can hear in your voice that, you know, this was an amazing journey. At the time, did you have to stop yourself and think strategically we need to go in this direction? Or were you very much being driven by, you know, the community, other people on the pods that were reaching out to you?
Yeah, it was driven by, I actually at this point didn't know what my online career, where it would take me, because I was so deflated, John.
Yeah.
I was, I saw podcasts out there like Tor and the Bib Theorists, and I just thought, there's no point, you know, why would we do that? And John and Dave were pretty adamant that we'd do something and we'd be different.
Mm.
And we wanted to do something that wasn't out there, and having the stats, we had a site with stats, you know, I mean, we didn't have the subscriber base, but we still had the stats for a year. You know, we paid, they made us pay for the year to keep them behind the scenes so we could do articles, but so we used them. And, you know, it really did kick off. Okay, let's try and do something, get our voices out and do something. And I was not confident at all, John. I was not the main man, you know, I wasn't anyone. I was just the guy who owned it. I was just bankrolling it.
Yeah.
And everybody else was the contributors. I was kind of the lackey. I still kind of am, really. You know, the guy who was just sitting there and enjoying this and having fun. And I mentioned for Johnny Starlight, who was the editor, actually. You must mention him.
Yeah.
From America. He used to edit. So we used to record the pod at 8 o'clock at night, like we are now.
Yeah.
And he would wait. He obviously, in America, they're 5 hours or whatever behind. He'd pick it up just before he went to bed. And by the time he'd be done, I'd be waking up. So it was so seamless. It was just, and that was the first point where you'd say, this is global already. Was sitting in Australia. The editor was sitting in USA. You know, like, what the hell? It was mad.
Was it at that point, though, Gags, that you had to sort of pinch yourself and go, whoa, I've got a global community growing here?
No, I didn't know. I was so unaware, John.
Which is fantastic, really. And I think, you know, for me coming in later and what I've been doing, it's, you know, there is an enthusiasm and an innocence to the network that I've always felt by connecting with people. So that's really interesting. There you are, hiding away behind the microphone, never having really considered the whole concept of the Gags Tandon show. You've been the facilitator. You've been the touch point, but it's also been, what I'm trying to say here, Gags, this is of course is really important to celebrate, you know, 3 years and your role in this, but also all those people in the community that were involved in the early days that have taken such a big part in getting Anfield Index moving along the way.
There'll always be a big part. Yeah, they will, exactly. And we have to celebrate that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's important to bring that out. At what point, though, did you realise this is getting quite big? And I don't mean in terms of, whoa, you know, egos, Gregor, but actually that this is a big undertaking.
To be honest, it kind of links in with the challenges that started coming, John, because yeah. I was, like I'd mentioned to you, there was the death of a loved one closed down the site to start with. And actually, there's a really good story here that nobody knows outside of the close network that, when I announced that AI was closing in 2012, just for the website, the Twitter account would go on, somebody DM'd me. That somebody being Linda Pizzuti. And at the time, you know, she just DM'd me and said, is everything okay? And she spent the next few hours just talking to me about everything that had happened, what happened, praised the website, said that, you know, it's such a shame, you should definitely bring it back once you're well and once everything's good. She didn't have to do that. There was nothing in there that she would get out of it before people start putting weird things together. It was just an absolutely lovely human touch from a beautiful person. And, you know, they're real, these people that own Liverpool Football Club, are very real. And on a personal level, I'll always keep that in my heart and hold that with a lot of warmth, you know. And, lovely person, and I'll never forget that. I mean, talking about the sacrifices that I knew this was getting big, was that it was just the listener base was growing, and it was just so much work. It was becoming so much work that, and I was having so many health problems. That's probably the best way to put it. Yeah. I was just having lots of health problems because I was working full-time day job, sleeping 2 hours sometimes because the editing was getting so much. There were so many shows, and I would, you know, I even put out a call for arms. I put everybody into a WhatsApp group and said, I need some help, guys. I really do. I can't do this. And that was one. And then obviously feedback, you know, getting feedback about people, about the audio, you know, that was a massive challenge as well. So it's like, what? The sound's dead crap, Gags.
It's quite funny, like, isn't it? Because, I mean, this is partly the trajectory of podcasting. You know, the early days, it was very lo-fi. You could get away with, you know, a couple of folks behind a ropey microphone sharing things in the garage almost. And some people took pride in that. And now it's almost to the level of, I thought I heard a vague crackle in the background there.
Yeah, just a vague one. And someone like me or Nina is like cracking the whip as well. Like, what did you do?
I know. Yeah,
you know, the early days, John, there was like Dave's didgeridoo. Like, he was in Australia and the noises coming from the background, it was like so weird. The podcasts were tinny and not the best, you know. That's why I have this bugbear. That's why I'm always on people's cases when they start and they're like, you're so anal with sound. And I'm like, dude, you don't understand. When you get the type of feedback we were getting, you realize, like you said, it was about to take off. And that, this is how it links into your question, that type of challenge was coming about because of it was taking off.
Sure.
And I was learning that, And then I went to America for the USA tour, and Steve Gennaro showed me a few tricks in Audacity. Thank you, Steve. And things got a lot better after that. And we just started investing in sending people better kit, you know, like Dave sent a laptop or, you know, stuff like that, and just send stuff to people to say, right, sort this. But obviously now they've all purchased much better headsets and gear because they understand as well. We all grew together.
Yeah.
We all grew together. So it was also, you know, a challenge of building up a listener base, but we were lucky, John, because we had around 70,000 followers already when we started the pod. So, you know, because of the stats work we'd done, really, we'd already had. So we were lucky that we had these people following the site, and the website had a decent amount of hits still, even though when it just came back, people remembered it.
The community was there. The community was there.
So that was when we knew, and the takeoff really, John, if you ask me, is when we expanded. The single pod was okay. We did a few commentary pods, but the real takeoff happened that summer when I said we're going international and we're introducing the Liver Birds and the Tompkins Times.
Why did you do that? Why did you decide to take it to a network? Because, I mean, I know from doing my own show for my own company, that in itself is an undertaking, and at times I've done things for other clients, you know, but doing a network, it's like when I first discovered, Anfield Index, and suddenly my stream was pouring in with all these other shows from all the place, I found myself thinking, how the hell are these people keeping all this together?
How is this person keeping it all together?
Did you sort of consciously sit there and go, I'm going to have a network? Or was it that there was such energy in the community that you sort of went, let's do this. Let's, you know, open the floodgates.
Ambition to do something and create something. And why not? LFC, Liverpool FC had just started to create international Twitter accounts. Can you remember that summer?
Yeah.
When they were launching them all. I can't remember his name, Paul Rogers it was, really good guy, head of the international accounts there. I can't remember his role at the club, but he was kicking off all these international accounts. And I just thought, I should do this, you know. And I wanted to piggyback off and maybe even try and strike a deal with the club where all those accounts they got, I tried to make podcasts for, so that we could maybe get shouts from them. That never materialized. I very quickly realized that the club would have nothing to do with us in those early days, that is.
Yeah.
So again, you know, I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they don't. We're going to do this. So, you know, we started with the internationals during the World Cup, got them all together. We did the Liver Birds and the Tompkins Times first, because Liver Birds diversity. We had a few ladies already on the site. We thought, why not? All ladies, it'd be interesting. I think it's one of the big things that it's a male dominated industry, male dominated listener base. They would love to listen to some ladies talking football. You know, they would, and they do. There's proof. So Tompkins Times, because it was quality website, and having somebody like the Tompkins Times on board elevates the status of it as well. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Yeah, in that way, because we were still starting up, and their website is at a very, very high standard and one of the best, maybe the best in terms of writing and analytics and, you know, how they analyze stuff. And a lot of them are involved with us. So the aim also was to give the international supporter a voice, you know, John, make sure people knew that everyone's equal, everyone's the same, no one's beneath anybody, you know, they're Reds, we're Reds. And it should be taken that way, you know. It just then just snowballed and got bigger. I wanted to break that stereotype, you know, of overseas fans that they know very little about football or soccer. Look at the personalities that some of these, you know, on the site now, most tactically savvy aren't based in England. You know, some of the ones, you know, they haven't got opportunity to go to Anfield. But does it matter?
No, exactly.
Passionate, hardcore.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's always been that idea of when Saturday comes at 3 o'clock or here in continental Europe, you know, 4 o'clock. But I think the great thing about the Anfield Index podcast is, you know, there are people all around the world, and for them, kickoff time is the time that Liverpool fans come together. It doesn't matter what time of day it is in the place of world that you are, because so many people from around the world contribute to these podcasts. And it's like the Liverpool family, which I think is incredibly powerful. I know Sacco is quite a diversive figure, but you know, when he talked about the Liverpool country, That for me was a moment that I think really connected with the fan base, because if you look at us as a club and look at us as fans and as a podcast network, it's a very, very clear indication that Liverpool brings people from around the world together, which is just fantastic. Is that one of the things that you're most proud of, Gags, that it's an international community?
For sure. It's so nice, you know, to have so many people involved from all around the world and speaking to people on a daily basis from different parts of the world. And it doesn't even feel like anymore that they're from that part of the world. It feels like they're just here.
Yeah, exactly.
They're my friend that I speak to. If I speak to my wife on WhatsApp, you know, text my wife, my friend on WhatsApp, you know, they're in my life every day. But then I'm WhatsApping someone like Kaelin every day, but he's not here. But it feels like it.
I suppose.
Exactly. You get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's got
part of your life.
And I think that's got a lot to do with podcasts as, you know, media that we consume. You know, listening to Gags in my headphones, or Ray or Gay or Jan or Nina or Kaelin. You know, it's like when I've had the chance to interview folks on this show. I might have been on another show with him in the past, but for example, like with Jim the other day, you know, it was really great to connect and just talk away about, you know, the old days of Liverpool, you know, the 90s. And it's like someone that you know them so well because, you know, you listen to them in the car or you listen to them in earphones. Is there anything else, Gags, that you're really proud of?
Oh, man. Proud of it all, really. But I'm proud of the pressing stats and how it's been mentioned, like in the Sunday Times, how it's inspired students from universities to go and collect their own stats and get interviewed by Premier League clubs. I mean, that's bloody unbelievable. Like, something I just thought of, you know, in the winter of 2014 has gone on to make that much of a difference to someone, that it's helped them just have an opportunity at the highest level of football. That's just unbelievable.
Where did you get the idea to do that? Because I remember you talking about it on the pod, and I thought,
I don't know.
My goodness,
I'm going to do this now because I'm crazy and I don't have enough work to do.
And but to announce it in public, yes.
Yeah, you that this is the most dedicated channel to Liverpool that you will find for free anywhere.
Yeah,
anywhere, and be proud of it. And we will provide diversity. So there will be people that hate stats on this channel. There'll be people that don't want anything to do with them. You know, there'll be people that won't even be talking football anymore. And they'll go and make a comic pod and make a movie pod and make an on the box, a one of a PDA wrestling index, a baseball, cricket, even went on to start its own website from starting with us, you know, and it's just how many different parts of the world, backgrounds, sexes, just so much, there's so plenty. But the proudest moment, you know, is that the people that who contribute to this, you know, are some of now my dearest friends from all over the world.
Yeah.
Like, take Desi Pod. They're much closer to home, but I'm very proud of that because it's just us and what it's become, you know. And even some of my cousins are involved as guests sometimes. And Harutabaji, Nina, Enzo, very, very dear to me personally, you know, and not just because of AI now, but I'm proud of something that I've built that's connected me to people and that they're now big parts of my life as well. So when you think of it in that way, it's suddenly a very, very powerful thing, you know? And I mean, working with people daily, so proud of the network built, proud of working with people like you, John.
Thank you. Now, when I was thinking of the questions, what we're going to talk through, I was trying to make a distinction in my mind between, you know, what I thought, well, what Gags might be proud of or what Gags would see as a success. Now, obviously, we've established from the early days here that you didn't really know what you were doing. It was a hodgepodge of ideas and, you know, a lot of it was a wave of, you know, it was quite emotional. it came from a sense of community, getting together to talk Liverpool. And I can see why you can say that, you know, you're very proud of the community, you're very proud of the stats. Is there a particular moment where you sat down and went, we are succeeding? Not gags, but the, you know, Anfield Index is succeeding. Was there a moment in this journey where you thought, you know, we've arrived?
Yeah, I think LFC TV getting in touch and saying, hey, do you want to come on the channel?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what?
Wait up. You guys didn't want nothing to do with me 2 years ago. And this is obviously in January. And then for Nina then to go on as a journalist into the studio on Press Box and seeing Anfield Index flash up under her name. And this was a person with only 1,000 followers only 2 years ago. And, you know, 2 years whilst being on this channel has built up this person to this point. It was a success for everybody involved, not just for Nina. It was for the whole of Anfield Index. It showed that someone who is ambitious enough to work hard and prove that they can make their way somewhere, that they want something. It was definitely a success for her, but a massive success for us. And then for someone who sat in this little room in Wolverhampton, not even from Liverpool, created this thing that's now just got on LFC TV and recognized by the club. So every time anyone from AI goes onto that post-match show on LFC TV, it's a success for the site
and fantastic.
For the contributor, but it's massive for us. And that's when you kind of realize, you know, woo.
Yeah, so many people celebrated that. I you know, when you were on, when Nina was on, I saw so much positivity. Gags, could you talk a little bit about, you know, Nina's involvement here? Because she really has become one of the, I know she's done a lot of editing and, you know, she represents AI quite a lot. Could you just say a little bit about Nina's involvement here?
Yeah, I think she's getting the name, the face that runs the place now. No, as I mentioned earlier, you know, with those health issues during the second year of the podcast and the first year of it as a channel, it was, I think, around end of 2014. So we'd only just met in August, in June, July. And towards the end of the year, I'd reached out to WhatsApp and to people in WhatsApp and said, you know, could anybody pick up some editing or anything off me to help me get through the, you know, amount of this work coming my way? I'm not feeling good. I was really tired all the time and blood pressure was through the roof. You know, the weight was big, you know, going up and up. Mm. And she was one of the ones that stepped up. Many did. But maybe she was the only one that went through the whole way and asked to be taught how to edit the shows. Mm. And she requested, you know, to pitch me a podcast and meet her. And, you know, which is where the famous Nina Kyle show was born. So, you know, that happened. Mm. And I thought it was a brilliant idea. She wanted her name and face all over it. Being the first show out each week, it's gotten really popular. So things just grew from there. She just kept on helping out. You know, she's got this personality of a bubbly, cheeky, feisty girl that loves her football, but the side that many don't see is the kind, considerate, caring person she is, with so much, you know, so much space in her heart for everyone. And as I said on her show last week, I saw a broken journalist that, so she was, you know, and I just wanted to help her to get through that, because she's a qualified journalist, she's got a degree. So she was then podcasting, writing, editing on the site, doing as much as she could. And and it took away so much work from me over the year, you know. And now I've got time for my kids, my family. I've got time to collect the pressing stats while she edits and I don't have to edit. Because imagine doing that and editing and all the other stuff. And it's just, that's how you get sick. That is how you get sick. It needs to be, it's free, but I shouldn't die over it, you know.
I think so.
So grateful to her though, John, you know, and so indebted to her that I can't even start to speak about it, you know. And that little thing that I did, that 20 minutes that we gave her at the end of that show, there was nothing. You know, she deserves much more than that. She deserves only the best in life for her hard work, her loyalty and her commitment to not only Anfield Index, but me as a friend as well.
I think that, you know, the response from the community to Nina's show as well is just It's a reflection of what you have facilitated and what everyone who's involved has kind of, you know, brought about that sort of positivity. But before we start turning into a pair of blubbering lovies, Gags, I think we need to move over a little bit to some of the football stuff.
Yeah, mate.
I wanted to ask you, during the time you've been covering Liverpool with Anfield Index, what's been the topic that, you know, has really, really, do you think has been the most successful, not in terms of listenership, but, you know, that you felt has really, wow, energized Anfield Index?
Oh God, energized is a bit different.
I don't know. I mean, that's the word that comes to me, because energizing could be, you know, something. It could come out of anger or frustration. It could come out of, you know, celebration.
Yeah, there's been phases, John. And if you let me go through them, that would be great. But there's been the year we started was the year we came second. So there was a euphoric, you know, moments of almost winning it, and then the absolute devastation after Chelsea, you know, absolute devastation. And then what came from there was a big drop. And I'm not really proud of it. I wasn't proud of myself, let's say.
Why is that?
Because I got dragged into the negativity, didn't I? And, but that was the hardest period, the Rodgers downfall part, you know? So, but I couldn't help get my... I couldn't help, because I'm a Red, you know, I'm just a fan. I'm not always what comes forward on a pod is that I'm a supporter, not a podcaster. I'm a supporter who's become podcaster.
Hot on your sleeve kind of fan.
Yeah, it needs to be that I'm a Red always. So whatever I say, it's from the heart. And like, as in, okay, sometimes it'll be measured as well. But if it's raw, it's going to come out. So I can't be anyone else. And I hated that period because I was always down, and even if I tried to be positive, right, I'd get slapped down. Like people like Nina or Dave, or they'd be like, "You're just being stupid. It's not going to work. There's no positivity."
It was hard to get excited about Lambert, for example. I mean, he's a lovely bloke, fantastic guy, and I love the whole fairy tale. But I remember listening to one of the pods and thinking, you know, it's so hard to get excited when a player like Suarez is gone, and
you get Lambert in. Jesus, yeah, he's a Scouser, fantastic. That's pretty much all we could celebrate. That maybe he would be, you know, someone that would give everything.
But you're going to talk about other periods too.
Yeah, so, I mean, that period itself, what sent me over the edge was the semi-final, the FA Cup semi-final, lost to Villa. I hadn't seen, you know, Liverpool side play such a big game with a set of players, many of them playing their first semi-final for Liverpool at Wembley, you know, for the first time without any passion, pride or will to win.
You weren't just angry, you were despondent, I recall.
I was dead. I died that day, and it turned me off to Brendan so bad. And, you know, people were asking, this is why it was hard. People were asking for balance. And I said, how can I balance the show? Because there's two people that want him to stay and we've got 40 people. How can I get two people on pods all the time? They haven't got the time. So we just told it as it was. And you know what? The people like to call it bias. It was just people speaking from the heart. But the massive thing that came out of it, John, was that it grew. The site grew.
Yeah.
With that negativity, the podcast grew. Why did it grow? Because slowly people started to realize, hold on, what they're saying was always right, was true. He doesn't know what he's on about. He doesn't know what he's doing. Or, you know, it is going, the signs were right. And basically, if there was anything else, if there was anyone else being positive, or if there was a show being positive, people were turning off and saying, no. Just tell it as it is. We want to hear as it is what's going on, where are we failing. And it all built up to this big moment, like you're saying, the Klopp, the Rodgers sacking, which at the time was the largest listened to podcast, you know, that we'd ever had, because he got sacked and Graham Kelly called it 3 days before. And then he was on the post-match when he got sacked and it just went boom. You know, everything just went boom that day. And then he even said on that pod that Klopp was joining a week before he joined. So the fact that just all took off, that is where it just went right, that is huge. But yeah, so that was our big moment. And then we kind of knew when he was joining, and we were lucky enough to be told about when the announcements were going to be made and shit like that. So we basically had three podcasts lined up. One about, one with Nina and Bundesliga expert John Harding, one with us and Dortmund fans talking about Klopp, and another one as well. And like, we had them all lined up to go 2 hours after each other on the day, because we knew people are going to be so hungry today to learn about this guy. And we were ready, you know, and that was the boom. That was the boom. People knew straight away, these guys know they are on this.
Do you think kind of legitimized Anfield Index in some people's eyes? You know, kind of established a sense of credibility because there was so much, you know, that, I mean, it was like, in a way, it's kind of, it's a professional response to have prepared stuff and to really serve your audience. You know, we were talking earlier in the pod about how, you know, by hook or by crook, Gags Tandon got this, you know, beast of a podcast network growing out there. But here you're really sort of thinking like a professional media producer, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Always. Always thinking that way. We used to think that way, but we just never had a story. We the stories were, we just never had, you know, an opportunity where there was such excitement, apart from the first year where we were novices as well. Yeah. Or learning. We're still novices. No one's an expert. Well, you're an expert, but we're not experts here. You know, we're still learning. We're only 3 years in. It takes longer than that to become experts.
We're all learning. Absolutely. Yeah,
always learning. So, but we were really, really bad the first year, as in I wasn't, but in terms of quality, sound quality as well. The shows were good. I won't say that, because they were fun. And Dave and John were excellent, and so was Jim and Dan, and you know, all the Marco obviously was part of it from day one. So all those that were involved, they were all quality, but we were let down by some, not the show quality, like the other quality, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The presentation.
Yeah.
That side of things. So when you say credibility, John, I don't know. I don't really, I've never thought about it. Getting invited on LFC TV, you know, credible? Is getting to speak to John Barnes or...
Exactly, all of it.
Credible? I don't know. That's not for me really to decide, is it? It's for you guys and who's listening to decide what's credible and what's not credible. I'm just happy to keep going and providing and...
I suppose for me, I'm kind of quite fascinated by the way in which community media, because that, you know, podcast here, we, you know, community of fans, community media really starts to replace mainstream. I think it's fantastic that first thing in the morning, you know, checking your phone to see if there's a new pod about that favorite topic, Liverpool. And, you know, it's from the Anfield Index Network. It's just fantastic. But let's keep the topic to the team. So Klopp happens. Yeah. There's that great moment. Things start going. What's your take on Liverpool under Klopp?
It's been so much fun this season, hasn't it? And I said that it would be a roller coaster last year, and it was. It ended a little bit depressing, obviously, with the final and stuff, but we got there. Did you think that we would be in two finals the same year that we had that team under Rodgers in the first month or two? Did you see that happening? If someone said to you that their manager would come in, turn this squad around.
Not two finals, no. I thought we'd get to Europe. I don't know. I'm a romantic, you know.
Didn't even do that in the end.
No, exactly. And I thought we get to a European, you know, the European final. I thought we get there, but I think what surprised me most has been the transformation between last season and this season. Did you get a sense of that? You know, because you were out in America, in the States, in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you feel that something? You know, let's put this on the table. I mean, Liverpool are the team to beat. We have been sensational. People have been talking about our football and very excited about it. Did you get a sense that that was coming in the summer, or
we look good. We look good. I think the real sense happened against Barcelona, where everybody went, "What?
Yeah,
Really? But in America, it was definitely hard work. They were just working hard. You know, he works them really, really hard in training. There were some signs we were doing well. Things weren't clicking. But also, there were no first teams. It was just like mix and match of players. Very hard to see what was going on. The Sacco stuff broke. It looked like things were going to be derailing very quickly. You know, I think there was some negativity in and around there with the you know, how what happened with him. And it was all his fault. Of course it was. And but what it does is, until you understand and know all the story, you then realize shit. But what you did get out of it was that Klopp was a ruthless manager, and that there'll be no chance anybody's going to be messing with him. So I suppose there was positives out of it. But you kind of did think, shit, that's our best defender gone. You know, yeah. And he's probably not going to get back in. So you kind of worry, are we going to get another defender? No, we didn't. And then there's obviously questions about Sadio Mane, questions about Wijnaldum signing, you know.
They weren't the kind of signings that made you, you know, jump up out of your chair and go, we're going to win the league.
Exactly. So the thoughts were like, how are these guys going to do? It was more intrigue, because these are his players. He wants these players. And you look back now and you think, wow, man, like, if you just go by the first 11 games, he's nailed it. Now, yeah, let's not talk about what's going to happen in the future. For now, if someone ever listens to this in the future, talking about just the first 11 games.
Yeah, this is Klopp, it.
Nailed it. He absolutely nailed it in terms of those signings have produced the good so far.
It's the journey. Yeah, the journey, not the destination. You said yourself, you know, you followed Liverpool many years from the beginnings, which were, you know, some of the good times, and then it all turned a little bit. It's right now, it's 2016-17. Is this, I mean, of course, you're going to say that, you know, Istanbul was a great moment and the season under Rodgers was also a fantastic journey. Is this one of those moments in, you know, for gags, aside from the podcast, is this one of those times where you are so enjoying the football?
Yeah, I don't remember enjoying it as much at any other time. I think 13-14 was half a season, wasn't it, really? Yeah. We really kicked into gear November, December time, didn't we, and moved on. I think we had a bit of a blip, but then we really cracked it up over that 13-14 game period in 2014, wasn't it? Mm. So it's quite similar to that 14 games. So I just want to see how far it can go with it. But yeah, I think we're playing better. I think the football's a higher standard. It's not one player, it's a team. Mm. It's definitely a team working hard together. It doesn't beat the 86, the 87, 88 team. I mean, watching that football, I was talking about it on Desi last night, John Barnes. I don't think I'll ever see anything like John Barnes again, you know, on a football field. It was majestic.
Shivers down and, literally, I can feel the hairs on the back of my neck. Yeah,
the silk. Yeah. He was silk, you know, on a football pitch, but he was silk with power and sometimes football perfection. Before that injury, you wouldn't be able to live with him. He had everything. You could take players on, dribble, control, crossing, shooting, heading. Like, what couldn't he do? What couldn't that player do? And have you seen anything like that?
No.
Suarez was probably the closest thing to perfection. You know, I know Kenny, people talk. I never saw Kenny. I saw the end of Kenny plays, you know, playing. And I've seen all the videos, but watching highlights and watching full games is totally different. So I wouldn't be able to compare, but for my lifetime, that was Johnny Barnes is a hero, you know. And to get him on the pod, by the way, John, I was shaking that day, man.
I can imagine.
Never shook so in my life. And he was so, like, strong on it as well. It was like, oh, my God, he's just taking us to town at times, it felt like. But, yeah, he was amazing moment that. If you think about it, a guy, I'm just a Red at the end of the day. I'm just a Liverpool fan. I'm nothing special. And for me to get to speak to, that's a success, I suppose, or a proud moment.
Yeah, I think that says a lot, Gags, that, you know, a moment like that comes as an aside in the late in the conversation. There were other things that, you know, that seems so important earlier on that we were talking about. I think that's really great. Let's keep it a little bit more to the current Liverpool. No. I mean, I think it's really important that you have the opportunity that, you know, I've tried to give you, you know, to have this conversation, to sort of take it. It's been a long journey, and it is the journey, you know, it keeps going to sort of share some of the things that have been important to you. Gags, do we, like you said, when we were talking about Liverpool right now, you know, you sort of said if it all goes sour, or, you know, this moment where everything's been so fantastic, do you think we have an Achilles heel? You know, is there something at the moment that concerns you?
Yeah, I think defending is obviously the one. I mean, I think set pieces is where we can get hurt. You know, the stats prove that. We've talked about it under pressure. That's where we could get hurt. So last few games, we've played the best crosses in the league in terms of Palace, West Brom, and I don't know who the other team was. I forget, but we successfully got past those. We didn't concede any, you know, free kicks. We were at home as well for one. Oh no, Palace was away actually. So yeah, we got through those. But you know, inevitably, there's going to be a time where we're going to need to try and be much better against these set pieces and win these games, because I don't know if we'll always win by three or four goals, you know, every single game. So that's when the defending comes in important. If we keep winning by three or four goals, it's kind of immaterial, because if you keep winning by three or four goals, you're going to win the league. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind about goal difference, because someone has got to score four or five or win by four or five to win the league. You know,
you've been following Liverpool a long time. Does this side remind you of any other side?
No. I think it's different. It's different because Rafa's team was more machine-like in terms of
absolutely
score, tight, done. This one just relentlessly keeps going. You know, it just keeps, it doesn't stop. I mean, even, I don't know, 87, 88, it's a long time ago now, but even they would score freely, but it wasn't like this side. It's, the modern era is different. Football's changed. Okay, let's split that up. Football's changed. This side, the way they press and Harry and the movement, the work rate. You look at Simon Brundage talking about who's obviously one of the most important additions as well throughout the years. Year two, I think it was. The amount of work the team's doing, how much they run, they press. It's just mad. I don't think we were ever doing that before in the olden days. So it's a different side of the game that's coming out, and that these managers in this new age are bringing forth. So yeah, I don't think I've seen anything like it. I really don't. I don't think Brendan's pressing was like this either. I just don't. I just think it's totally different to what we've seen.
Now, we've talked about the community and the, you know, the listeners and the other podcast hosts, all the guests that are on the shows. There does seem to me to be a kind of a collective anticipation that we could be on the verge of something here. Is this the Anfield Index podcasts? Are we whipping ourselves up into a frenzy because we're that desperate for a title? Or is there something really there, do you think, Gags? I'm putting you on the line here.
We've never won anything since we started the pod. I'm desperate. It's like a curse. Yes, I think there is something. He's changing things. The manager is changing things. The players that were down and out are amazing on national and international level for Lallana. Like, you know, it's just changing. Like, there's so many other things as well. How he's changed the fan base. You can go around Anfield, and whether that's him or the new stadium, whatever, there's just a new buzz. There's just a new buzz around it. When I went a couple of times this season, I've really enjoyed it. And there's none of that horrible atmosphere with Rodgers, you know, the negativity. And it just seems like everyone's going in that one direction, John. And that is so important when you're about to win something, that or you're trying to win things, that everybody, supporters, players, the manager, the establishment, everyone is going in that one way, you know?
Yes.
And even the media, the Liverpool media, you know, around, it's all positive.
Yeah, we're all sort of riding the crest.
There were some like little you know, stories here and there still. Now all of it's gone. It's done. Everything is One Direction. It's I'm not talking about the flipping boy band group. I'm talking about everyone is just going in that same way. That shows you something's happening.
Okay, so I think that's fantastic, because that's Gagstan and the fan coming to the forefront there, the Liverpool fan that just wanted to enjoy the passion, the excitement of following the club. Last question time here, Gags, as we draw things to a close. I want us to go back to Gags, the podmaster, as it were. You know, where are we at with Anfield Index? What is the state of the nation? What's your ambition for where we're going, other than Liverpool winning the league?
Oh, everything's really healthy. Obviously, going very, very well. We're the listeners are really doing awesome. Always looking to add, you know, something new, something that we've not got. We're looking to go into video next, so AITV soon enough. You know, we're talking to people about that, helping us out and doing stuff. So, yeah, I think Nina's going to kick that off first. Then we might do something with some stats and stuff on it. So, you know, putting out, just expanding a little bit more, because we should do that. Podcasting will be always be the main, you know, source. It's just doing so well, it'd be silly to switch off from podcasting, you know. And there's loads of ideas for podcasts, but I don't really want to go into them, but just in case they get taken.
Sure. By others.
So I really don't want to go there, but those will take time, because one thing this does do is what it does cost money. Any idea costs money, and this is all going out for free, so we need to slowly get there, but we will get there, I promise you. And there's massive updates coming for the apps to make them more interactive. You can, you know, to get more social media element from them. So I'm sure when they're out next year, because we're waiting for a development slot with the company, that when they come out, people will enjoy the apps more. The Android app especially needs a overhaul. Mm-hmm. So that's going to happen. So that's in the plans. So like I said, there's so much going on. Obviously, we'll get all the YouTube stuff onto the app as well. And everything, we're just trying to move forward as much as we can. You know, we've updated the website this year. It's changed everything, you know, really has. People visiting it, it's just so much smoother. That gives credibility a little bit more to the site, to the channel, because all the podcasts are now on there as well. You can stream from there. You can download from there. So yeah, there's lots more coming.
So ultimately, Gags, it comes down to more content, facilitating more community participation. And, well, it really sounds like there's lots of exciting times ahead.
Hopefully, it will be
alongside
Bedlam.
A Liverpool championship.
Bedlam if they win it this year. I guarantee you the podcast will go mad. There might be a two-day break because people are drunk, but there we go. No, I hope so. Our fingers crossed, and all the best to the lads. I really, really hope that Liverpool win it, because we've been waiting so long, John. So, so long.
Gags, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk to me and to share your story of Anfield Index. It really sounds exciting where the channel's going to be going. If you've got any questions, any comments that you want to get in touch with Gags, do reach out to him on Twitter, and you'll find him at Gags Tandon. And if you want to send me a message, you'll also find me there on Twitter at John Buskell, JONBUSCALL. Remember, if you like Anfield Index, download the Android app or the OS app if you're on an iPhone or whatever. You can get those and get every episode from the channel directly onto your cell phone, so you can listen when you're driving off to work, commuting to work, walking the dogs, going to the gym, etc., etc. Remember, it's not just Gags and Nina that are involved in the podcast network. There are lots of presenters from around the world, lots of guests from around the world, as Gags talked about on the show. All of us involved in Anfield Index, I'm sure we would love it. We would love it if you told your friends, your family, any Liverpool supporters out there who've not discovered the channel yet, to come and have a listen. I'll be back next week with another topic, another guest, in focus. In the meantime, thanks very much for listening. Liverpool in focus. One topic, one guest, every week.
You're listening to the Enfield Unders Podcast Channel.
You are listening.
The Enfield Index.
The Enfield Index Podcast Channel.
The Enfield Index Podcast Channel.
Sports Social Podcast Network.